T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
A career high, 3 touchdowns. And here is Jason Sanders. 47 yards. The kick is up. The kick is good!
He hit the kick!
No. Oh, no!
Jason Sanders has won the game for the Miami Dolphins!
No flags! It's over!
Unbelievable.
We're off the roller coaster. I can't take anymore.
Wow, what a game.
Miami has Dolphins.
What a game, what a kick. It's Dolphins Monday, defended by your insurance attorney, Anthony Lopez. Call 305-800-LOSS, and we're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline and talk to the kicker, the hero kicker from yesterday, Jason Sanders, who kicked that game-winning field goal in overtime. Jason, good morning. How are you feeling today?
Feeling pretty good. nothing can explain what happened.
So how do you sleep after something like that? I'm just curious, like, the biggest kick of your life, right? I mean, that's got to be it right there. Overtime, NFL, early in your career, I can't imagine anything bigger. So what do you do last night, and how do you sleep?
It's more of just a family moment for me. You know, calling my parents, calling my girlfriend, just, you know, just getting the first experience out of the way, you know. There's nothing you can say to define what it feels like to kick your first game-winning field goal in the NFL.
Jason, the amazing thing is that would have been good in arena football. You split the uprights, man. That thing was just your mindset, the 47-yarder, right split down the middle. Did you know right away when you hit it, or at what point do you go? Because at first, you didn't jump up and down and go crazy. You kind of were cool about it.
I didn't want to pre-celebrate and something happened. The little wind gust come in at the end. No, but when I touched it, I felt my foot. I had a pretty good feeling. You know, I struck it pretty well.
Jason, what do your text messages look like when you got to the locker room?
I didn't finish them.
I figured you couldn't answer everyone back, right? You just kind of left it where it was.
I want to ask you about Parkey. He's down at the other end. You're watching that kick. And his, by the way, his started right down the middle and then started heading right just outside the goalpost there. What are you thinking as you're watching that? Did you think right off the bat that was good, or could you tell?
I mean, I saw he didn't miss by much. I don't know if you saw that. He missed by maybe a couple of inches. But as another kicker, you don't want to see other kickers miss. You know, you got one job, and that one job is to put it through the upright. So when you see a kicker not do that, you know, you have a heart for him in it. But Cody's a great kicker, and he's honestly somebody that a rookie kicker wants to be. He's been in the league for years now, and he's signed a good deal with the Chicago Bears.
Yeah. Hey, Jason, I want to get during the game at the end there. Chicago, 41-yard line, 34 seconds left. The team decides to punt. I think it would have been roughly, help me out, about a 58-yard field goal. I saw you warming up. Had you made something? Usually I watch before the game to see how far you're kicking them. There's been a lot of days where you're making them right at 60. Did they come to you and go, hey, you want to kick this 58 yarders? Can you make it? Or was their mind already made up?
I think it was just a tough decision on the game situation. You know, if I go out there and make it, yeah, I'm a hero. But if I go out there and miss, they got the ball right at basically the 50-yard line.
Right. Yeah, so I was just wondering, where were you making them from before the game started? How far out were you yesterday?
Yesterday, it was around 62, 61. But, I mean, it just depends on the game. Some days you feel extra good. Like at the Bengals, I was hitting 65 with a little extra. But at the last night, it was, you know, probably around 62, 61.
That is amazing. It's just amazing to hear someone. I felt confident from 60 or 62.
No, we were watching Bob.
I know. It's crazy.
Bob and I are up in a thing. I go, Bob, you see this kid? He's kicking him from 60, man. Like, that. You keep going as far back until you feel like you can't make him, because I know Coach is watching to see, because he wants to get an idea during the game how far. How does that work? Tell me how that works before the game.
Well, I mean, it's hard to say you're confident from kicking from 60 yards.
Yeah. No problem, Coach.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't say I'm 100% confident from kicking from 60. You know, it's just, it's going to get there, I believe.
Yeah, right. I can get there.
I believe.
I'm just
that's
not
okay.
Sure if that sucker's going straight. I got you. Yeah.
I like that confidence right there. I'm okay.
There's a lot that can go wrong.
Yeah.
Of course. Like you said, you don't want to jump up and down until that thing would split the uprights just in case the wind. I can understand that. All right. So you said first game winning kick in the NFL. High school, college, were there other ones there? Have you ever been in that situation before?
I had one my senior year of college. And that was about it, a 53-yarder.
Wow, okay.
53, okay.
Coming from, and what you've been through, coming from New Mexico, you were drafted in the seventh round, but the kicking going on with Greg Joseph, who, by the way, is also kicking now for the Browns. Every day, I have you ever been through this where everybody keeps track in the media of all the kicks you make and don't make and from how far? Did you follow that, and are you aware of that everybody's keeping an eye on your kicking every day in practice?
I knew what the situation was, and I knew people would be doing that at practice, but honestly, it's just, and I would leave practice knowing what I did, you know, so it's not like it was a surprise. I went 6 for 7 or 7 for 7, you know, it wasn't a surprise to me if I knew what it was, but, it was a new experience. You know, I'm a rookie, so everything I experienced in training camp was basically all new to me.
Jason, when you get in that situation where you're kicking, you know, the game winner in overtime or in regulation, whatever it is, and you have that pressure on you, and you know when you get back to the sideline, you miss that kick, you're going to be the guy going all by yourself to the sideline or to the side. But if you make it, you're going to get jumped by about 50 or 60 guys, including coaches, at the end. What's that pressure like as you're walking out there for that kind of kick?
That's the kind of pressure you got to be able to sustain being an NFL kicker, I believe. I mean, I've learned a lot over the couple past weeks being in my first year in the NFL, but you just have one job. You have to stay confident and know that you can get your job done. You know, I think you see a lot of mistakes when people don't, you know, go out there fully believing that the ball is going to go through.
How about also yesterday, kind of lost in everything, you got your first 50-yarder in the National Football League. I'm going to talk about that, but first of all, talk about kicking that 50-yarder. It has to feel pretty good.
Yeah, that was a pretty good kick for me. I mean, my long was 42, I think, the week before, so, I mean, it was good to get a longer one.
So now let me ask you, I've always said this, and tell me if I'm wrong, because if I do, I always say it on the radio, so you can just correct me right now. I've always felt like, and we saw it yesterday, 50-plus is a different mindset for a field goal kicker versus the 40-yarder, and obviously 30-yarders are now extra points. But do you feel that way as a kicker? Because obviously the ball can bleed a little bit more left or right. What do you think? Do you agree with that?
I believe that it has to be the same kick, yes, because if you watch some of the PATs kickers make, they go straight down the middle and they're probably good for 60, you know, but you back it up, there's a lot of room for error, basically. The closer you are, there's a lot of room for error, and the farther you get back, it means to be more focused.
Hey, Jason, just as a fan yesterday, because I've been watching games for a long time, that was one of the wildest, craziest games I've ever seen in my 200 years of being around. What was that like for you over on the side, watching that game and obviously being the biggest part of it at the end there?
Well, my first year in the NFL, look at the first game. You know, you have the longest game in NFL history.
That's true.
You've been through a lot. That's right.
I've seen a lot in the past in this last 5 years.
I forgot about that. By the way, what'd you do that day just to warm up after stretching and stretching out about 35 times? What was that like coming back out?
It was just a process. It was a long game of warming up. You take a normal game, it's still, you're warming up a lot, you know, and then you take, you take that game and put 2 hour breaks, in between there and there. It was just a long day.
So, you know what's weird, Zach? I'm listening to Jason Sanders, the Miami Dolphins game-winning kick yesterday, hits it from 47, not a chip shot. And he's got no family here at all. So did any of the guys go, come on, Jason, let's go out and grab up. What'd you do last night?
I went out with Matt Hawk, the punter.
Oh, yeah, the old holder. The old holder with you, man. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Did he pay? Who paid for that?
He did.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
I was going to say him or Gase. One of
Jason,
the two of
those guys.
Jason,
you get so quiet. You act like I was getting... Poor Jay, last time Jason and I were together, and Bo cut me off, so we're doing a high school show, and Jason was with us. And I said, hey, Jason, I was a seventh-round pick. I got $7,500 for my signing bonus.
And we laugh at that.
And we laugh. It was 30-something years ago. So I was getting ready to ask Jason. He got a big smile on his face. He walked away. So I didn't get a chance to see. Have you spent that little signing bonus yet, or no? You still have it?
I still have most of it. I bought a truck with it, but I still have most of it, yes.
That's nice stuff right there.
Not like Joe's $7,500
signing
bonus.
Oh, that was gone.
Right?
Yeah, I sucked that right up, man. That $7,500.
Joe spent it that night. Yeah, just Joe spent $7,500 that night.
Jason, congratulations, man. Really nice having you, and congratulations on the big kick and helping your team get that win in overtime. Wild night, but your first 50-yarder and a game winner. Pretty damn special night, bud.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Jason Sanders joining us. Miami Dolphins rookie kicker, not kicking like a rookie last night.
No, either gets ripped when they miss kicks or the high praise when you kick a game winner in overtime.
He didn't want to get into stuff a little bit. I think it's pretty cool, though, that
of course it
his punter
is.
Was out with them last night.
Listen, that's funny. That's a good question. I want to see who he's partying with last night, the punter. And the punter took
Matt Hawk. That's
picked
pretty
up
cool
the check also. By the way, Miami Dolphins cheerleaders will host their annual fashion show on Friday, October 19th at Hard Rock Stadium. More than 20 cheerleaders sailed the Caribbean this past May on board MSC's cruises, MSC Seaside, to capture the images featured on this year's annual, which will be available to purchase at the fashion show. Go to www.dolphins.com/cheerleaders to reserve tickets to this exclusive event.
All right. Hey, listen, we got a lot more to get to here in this 8 o'clock hour here from Mark Richt. If you missed it earlier, we'll hear the coach and everything about decisions that he didn't want to share with us and everything else that are coming up.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
WQAM.
I wouldn't have it any other way. You know, it just makes the story a little bit better. I'm so grateful for the opportunity. To be able to come here to Miami, to be able to play football for Coach Gase, and what this football team did today as a unit is so special. You know, we were down, nothing was perfect, but we all stayed together on the sidelines. We continued to fight, we stayed together, and in the end, we found a way, and that's what great teams do. I went up to Drake right before Chicago kicked the field goal, and I just said, hey, listen, they're going to miss this field goal, and I need you to bring the swagger and confidence you've been playing with all day. And he looked me in the eye and he said, okay. And sure enough, he's the guy who made the big play to get us in the field goal range. So if that doesn't talk about working through adversity and mental toughness, I don't know what is, but that's an example of mental toughness at its finest.
That was Brock Osweiler talking about the big start yesterday here, top of the hour. It's not top of the hour anymore, but it's time for your chance to win $1,000, 560 WQM, $1,000 touchdown contest. Your chance to take home $1,000. Text the word SNOW to 72881 and you're registered. SNOW. Text it to 72881 right now. If you don't win this time, your next chance at the top of the next hour. WQM's $1,000 touchdown contest brought to you by Gunther Mazda. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther. This is a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. Snow is the 8 a.m. code word.
Well, just when you think you've seen everything, yesterday will go down as from the start of the day to the end in that last kick from Jason Sanders. one of the strangest days I'll ever remember. Finding out early in the morning that it looked like Ryan Tannehill was out with his shoulder. And then going, wait a sec, how can he be out? He practiced a couple of days, and like, what happened? And then find out Brock Osweiler gets the word in the morning that he was going to start against the Chicago Bears. So a backup quarterback playing against Chicago Bears defense. Throws for 380 yards, three touchdowns, the best game he's had as a pro, even going back to his starts in Denver and his handful of starts in Houston and everything else. This guy's got to be thinking, I mean, I don't know if he said it yesterday. He had to be thinking, hey, if this thing doesn't work with Adam Gase, there's a chance I don't get picked up by anybody in the league. That's it.
Thrown into the fire, did pretty well yesterday.
And got a lot of support, but played really well. Made some great decisions. And the crazy part is Albert Wilson dropped a square end to start the game. They were going down to score. He throws a perfect pass on the square end. And then next thing I know, Albert Wilson has – nobody's going to talk about the drop when you have six catches for 155 yards and two touchdowns.
Now, he made up for it after that.
Yeah, he went all in. But Brock Osweiler made some nice throws. He didn't throw the ball down the field a lot, but just was good. Had time to look around. They gave him a nice, for the most part, a nice clean pocket. He had a few blitzes. I don't know if he saw him or not. Got hit just as he threw the ball. But the O-line, and nobody's going to talk about that O-line today. Nobody. Because it's not sexy to come on the radio and talk about the O-line. Those five guys, along with their tight end, Nick O'Leary, they played their ass off. If you don't mind me, at 826 playing, they're big asses. They played really well. Tackles played great. James and Tunsil inside and just kept running the ball. And at first they got a little bit, right? And then started to get more and more to the point that Frank Gore runs for over 100 yards as a team. They run for 160-something yards in the game. And then throw, and next thing you know, they put up some ridiculous amount of yards in that football game. Just an amazing game with a lot of great stories. The Nick O'Leary story, cut by the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
That's a great story. Went to Dwyer High School up in Palm Beach and went to Florida State. Everybody's seen the video. Matter of fact, you say Nick O'Leary, everybody's seen the video of him on the motorcycle.
That's right.
Where he could have died, and he gets up and walks away from it, like missed a week of right, and went back and was like, oh, I'll be all right. A little sore. Give me a couple of days. and just played his rear end off. Four catches, 49 yards, and a touchdown, and really good blocking yesterday. And Frank Gore,
he's the ageless wonder.
If somebody was going to tell me he was going to have a 100-yard game this year, I wouldn't have taken that bet.
I mean, I would have thought twice before saying I think that's going to happen. 15 carries, 101 yards, averaged 6.7 yards a carry yesterday. As a team, they averaged 5.2 with him and Drake out there. But the whole point is, I think the one thing you brought up that all week long we talked about was the beaten up and battered offensive line, whether Tunsil plays or not, going against Khalil Mack in that front seven, which has been the best in the NFL basically all season long. And they handled that front seven. They handled them.
They took Khalil Mack like you wouldn't have known Khalil Mack played except for when he came off. They go, Khalil Mack got injured and then came right back in the game with his ankle. And then it was the other part was Xavien Howard might as well have just put in had a guy come out in his jersey because they didn't throw his side. I don't think he got targeted once. They threw a hitch pass. He came up, made a tackle. But outside of that, they were so busy, Torrey McTyer must have felt like a dartboard. With the bullseye, they might as well put McTyer on the bullseye because they just kept throwing darts at him.
Don't we see that all the time when guys get picked on? And now we're seeing it right in our backyard with these two guys. And it doesn't matter who you put in. Now that Bobby's out, whoever's taking that spot, whether it's Tankersley, whether it's McTyer, doesn't matter who's in there, boom, they're getting targeted. And we saw it. You brought up Xavien Howard beginning of the show today. You didn't hear his name a lot because they didn't throw the ball at him at all.
No,
they stayed away from him.
And they went after McTyer. They took him out, and they put Tankersley in, and they went, oh.
Didn't matter.
Well, we're going to throw at him now.
Yep.
I don't know what the final number of targets those guys had thrown at them. There will be somebody, one of our writers will do that today. But Tankersley and McTyre were absolutely, like, they saw them in the game. And some of their coverage, by the way, is not bad. Like, they're there. They just can't find the ball. Like, just can't find the ball. There's some good throws made, but we got to get Bobby McCain back.
Healthy quick.
Because those guys, and the league is all about matchups. Like, running backs on linebackers, another one we saw all day yesterday all over the NFL. The Dolphins did it. They did it to us yesterday. Those backs out of the backfield and making. I mean, linebackers can't cover the top receiving running backs that can catch, and they're all good receivers now.
You're right.
They're all guys that can go. If you give them a two-way go, there's no linebacker, no 250 or 260-pound linebacker that's going to be able to run for more than a second with these backs coming out of the – Kenyon Drake, nobody can cover Kenyon Drake.
No. Yep. And the Bears had one yesterday, too. Tariq Cohen, another one of these guys.
They're just – I mean, outside of kind of double them or get extra pressure or have a safety help you, it's just – it's a bad matchup, man. They're just not a good matchup.
And you want Bobby back for next week anyway. I mean, Detroit's not a world beater. They're 2-3, but they throw the ball a lot.
Listen, there ain't no easy games.
I know.
Like, that's all they need to do is like, oh, we beat Chicago, we got Detroit. They got to treat it just like everybody else that there's just – look at Detroit. Detroit got smoked by the Jets, and then they pound the Patriots.
That's right. It's so weird. The NFL's so weird.
You just
– it really is so weird.
If you're not ready to go, it's – that was I just ask everybody to either watch it or was at the game. That was one of the craziest games.
Back and forth, all, you know.
Just
down a lot, up there, now you're tied, this and that,
and
going to overtime.
And then for a minute, we were kicking field goals, and they were making touchdowns. I'm like, ooh. Then it got to 8.
It's going to get ugly.
Like, oh,
yeah.
Man, we got to get it in. And next thing you know, we got some big plays. And the two veteran free agents really played well yesterday, and Albert Wilson and Frank Gore.
It's ridiculous.
Combined for 255 yards, I think, yesterday. Just really, really played well.
Albert Wilson is going up there right now. I know Gore had a great game yesterday, but Albert Wilson, one of the best free agent pickups we've had in a long time. Brent Grimes is up there also, obviously. But
4 touchdowns and has thrown one.
Yeah, he's thrown one, that's right.
So he gets credit
but
for five.
But he's so dynamic. Like, these guys are very dynamic. Albert Wilson catches the ball, and you better be in front of him, otherwise he's getting around you.
The defense, we got to go to break here and get to Mark Richt. The defense had a really interesting day. They gave up a lot of yards, but they had 3 takeaways and a 4th down stop, which is like 4 takeaways. You get a 4th down stop to play Rashad Jones made. That's Pro Bowl safety stuff.
Yes, correct.
Like, he just dove in there. The guys were all around him and made that play just short of the first down. So they ended up, and on top of that, Xavier sits over there on the other side. He must, like.
He was bored probably half the game.
He was bored. Like, he's just hydrating. Like, just, I'm fine. No problem. I'm over here, though. So if you want to throw the other side, go ahead, but I'm here. Anyway, we gotta go to break here, man. We got a lot more stuff to get to. Mark Richt, University of Miami head coach, joins us next, so stay with us for that. We'll have a lot more. And keep firing off, man. It's full today. The Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line, 560-22. That's 56022.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
All right, let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. It's the Mark Richt Show, brought to you by by Bennett Auto Supply. When you need parts for your vehicle, think Bennett Auto Supply. Bennett Auto Supply, drive with leader, and J&K Roofing. J&K has been serving South Florida for 30 years, repairing and installing new roofs. If you have a leaky roof, call J&K at 954-961-ROOF. Good morning, Coach Richt. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
We're hanging in there, Coach. Early in the morning, I know you got a lot of stuff on your plate right now. Let's jump right into it. The quarterback switch in the second quarter, I know before you decided to stick with Nikosi Perry, your gut, and of course he throws 4 touchdowns. this time you decide to make the switch with Malik Rozier. Just talk about that. What was behind that?
Yeah, well, he was struggling,
right?
And we were struggling, you know, offensively. And I felt like the way the game was going, I didn't like the way it was going. And I felt like, you know, Malik's got a lot of experience in these types of games, and I felt like, you know, he was going to give us the best shot at that moment. So that's why I did it.
Coach, do you worry, just a follow-up to that, I always think of this, especially with young guys, and I know you've been through this before, but you ever worry about a guy losing his confidence when you pull him out of a game and what it might do to his psyche, or you think he'll be fine?
Well, I think he'll be fine. He knows we have a high regard for him, and we think he's going to be a really great one day. And, you know, he's a guy that, you know, we're going to continue to develop. And, you know, he's got a great career ahead of him, and he knows that. We talked to him about that. You know, it's never easy, but that's, you know, that's part of the criteria of being a quarterback. You know, can you hit your target? Can you make good decisions? Can you handle the pressure of the job? And sometimes, you know, living it out in a situation like that is tough, but that's what you got to develop, mental toughness.
Mark Richt joining us here on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Defense was playing great all game long. You know, would they give up 204 yards total? So that's definitely not something you had to worry about. But I'll go back to the onside kick, 304 left. I know that you had good field position to make that onside kick, but of course that's getting second guessed because of what happened after that.
Yeah.
What was the thought process before that?
Well, the thought process is if you get it, that's great. You know, that's the greatest scenario is if you get the onside. If you don't get it, it's probably a difference of, you know, 15 yards at the most. Unless something like what happens. You know, that was the worst case scenario, that the ball wasn't kicked far enough. Our guys are waiting for it to go 10 yards. Of course, they're allowed to go get it and did, and, you know, got themselves in great field position. So, yeah, I mean, it certainly backfired on us. It was a decision that I made, and, you know, I got to own it.
Coach, the problem been more offensive line in this game or more about the quarterback, or was it a combination for the problems you saw on tape?
Well, you know, there were more issues up front than you'd like to have in a game with the offensive line, but, you know, our perimeter blocking, again, let us down. Some of it was just assignments, simple assignments. And, you know, when you start running, you know, part of the game plan, a big part of the game plan is running the stretch play. And, you know, the stretch play is an outside zone. It's a outside play. And when you get the back, you know, out of that box and into the perimeter, you got to have guys blocking the right people. A couple times we just flat out didn't block the right people when we had it blocked beautifully up front. So, you know, there was just some perimeter blocking. There's some things up at the quarterback position. There's certainly things that happened, you know, up front as well. I mean, you know, we gotta get better. And an open date after a loss in some ways stinks because you got a long time before you can try to get a victory again. But on the other hand, it does allow you to, you know, get back to some fundamental football and you know, try to get better at what you do.
Coach, you said after the game you're going to be looking at schemes and going back and evaluating personnel and schemes, and I guess that's also play calling. How do you go about doing that? Is that where you get together with everybody? You go back, watch tapes by yourself, and see what's not getting better? How do you go about that?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
You know, you got a soul search. You know, I think everybody's got to do that and make sure that whatever responsibility they're in charge of, that they – you know, doing the very best they can. And what, you know, if there's something that the wide receiver, running back, tight end, you know, linebacker, safety, you know, whatever position you coach, special teams, you know, make sure you're being thorough in the self-scouting part of it, you know. And then if things got to be changed, then change them. If things got to just get done better, then make sure we get, you know, set it up where we can get better at it.
I'll piggyback on what Joe said for a second. When the offense sputters, when you lose a game like this, of course the blame goes to the offensive coordinator if the offense doesn't look good. And when you look at it, who's calling the play, so of course you're going to get ripped by people today. Oh, the play call, we need a new play caller. When you hear something like that, what happens in your mind? Like Joe said, the reevaluation of yourself this week or in 2 weeks now, because you got a while before that next game. The reevaluation of yourself for the next 10 or 12 days is what?
You make sure you're calling the right things. And again, offensive football is about 11 guys doing it right, you know. And so if all 11 guys are doing it right, and then I would say, you know, maybe we got some issues with the play calling. But if we're not getting everybody doing it right, then maybe we're not doing a good enough job of you know, getting these guys to do what they're supposed to do. And when you have missed assignments, you know, it's either too hard, you have too much, or the guy, you know, is, or the player himself can't get it, you know. But, you know, the bottom line is, you know, when you reevaluate what happens in a game and you've got missed assignments and you're not fundamentally, you know, taking care of business down after down, and it's usually one or two guys, you know, it's one guy here, one guy there. Well, that doesn't help you. All 11 got to do it right. When they do it right, then you have success. And when they one or two guys don't, you know, then a play will have a chance of not succeeding. And but that's, you know, I'm not pointing the fingers at the players. That's coaching to be able to get the guys to do it the way it needs to be done. You know, that's what it's all about.
Coach, before you get ready to play on the road again, you know, Boston College, a tough road game as well. Do you know who's going to start a quarterback? You got a pretty good idea right now whether you go with Perry or Rozier?
We haven't met with our players yet, so we'll talk to them today. We actually meet with them this morning here in about 30 minutes or so.
Yeah. Is there going to be some changes? You expect changes? Offensive line, receivers, you expect to make some changes, or is it just, fellas, we got to clean some things up?
Well, you know, some positions there's not a lot of changes you can make. You know, I think that we'll keep Navon as a guard. You know, I think DJ Scaife did enough good things outside as a tackle. I think that's the best combination on the right side. You know, and then, you know, left side, you know, it'll be pretty much status quo. We have Jahir in there, and then depending on, we'll see how much, if Denzel Bulwer can unseat him as a starter. But, you know, that's pretty much how it's going to look there. And then at the receiver position, you know, we don't really, you know, you got to play a number of guys. I mean, all those guys are going to play.
Right.
You know, we only have two tight ends on scholarship right now. They're going to play. So, you know, those top two running backs, they're going to be the guys carrying the load again. So there's not going to be a lot of change there.
Coach,
it's just got to be, you know, overall execution.
Coach, the penalties, especially the ones late in the game, just talk about those, the personal foul, shoving a guy in the back and then running into the kicker.
Yeah.
It might have been too late, but running into the kicker.
Yeah. Well, you know, the one that Tito had, I mean, wasn't very smart. I mean, a guy actually got pushed into him, and he felt like he got hit in the back late, and then he retaliates. I mean, just foolish. You can't do that. And he knows it. He's sick about it. And, you know, we got to keep our poise. We can't lose our composure no matter what the circumstance is. That's part of football. And, you know, or you're going to get it.
Coach.
You know, so that's not – certainly we could have got the ball back and had another shot.
Right.
That's all you need is another shot. You never know what can happen. But, you know, he feels as bad as anybody.
Coach, the time off before the next game. You don't play again until next Friday. Bad or good for you guys mentally? Is it better for you guys to have a little bit more time off? I know that sometimes is good or bad for a team.
Well, it depends on how you want to frame it. It depends on how you want to react to it. We have the choice to decide if it's good or bad, and that's what we'll talk about this morning as a team and set the stage for what we got to do to get better so the next time we play, we can get right back in this Coastal Division race and get back to Charlotte.
Mark, as you know, expectations down here are so high when you coach, and when they don't go the way everybody wants them to go, it can be pretty ugly. As you know, how do you handle all that stuff? Are you able to block everything out? How do you treat it?
Yeah, we can block it out. We don't get into it. And It's like Reggie Jackson said, they don't boo nobodies. So, that's part of the business. You know that Coach Bowden, one of the first things he said to the staff every year was, you know, loyalty was number one, and number two, if you can't take criticism, you know, get out of the business. It just comes with the territory. And, if you've read Theodore Roosevelt's speech about daring greatly, that kind of sums it up. So look that up. And
I got to look that one up.
Writing that down, Coach.
I'm writing that down. I'm going to have to look it up after the game, though, Coach. You're way ahead of me on that one, man. I was good on Bobby, right, but as soon as you went there, you had me on that
Joe's,
one, Coach.
Joe's done after that. Coach, I'll tell you what. I mean, I know that after a loss, we have to bring up all the stuff that happened bad, but if I would have told you before the game you're going to hold their quarterback to 92 yards passing, 3 interceptions, and 204 yards total on offense, I can imagine at that point you and Manny Diaz are going to be happy about that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good day defensively for sure. The guys got after it and played with passion and disrupted a bunch of things. And I mean, the interception by Bandy, I guess it was the second one, was just pure will. And it was a little subtle thing that happened on that play, that when he came down with the ball, or he's fighting with the receiver for the ball, Jaquan Johnson, like, dives right in the middle of them, separates them from each other so Bandy could rip the ball out. It was pretty heads-up play by Jaquan on that thing.
Coach, by the way, real quickly, I always love to keep up on the recruiting stuff. How is that going with everything going on? I know you guys are always out recruiting and stuff. How do you feel about this upcoming class?
We feel good about it. There's a lot of great players that have already committed, and a couple of them that have silently committed, and some of them that, you know, are still trying to figure it out. But a lot of great kids. Our problem is, you know, having more guys that want to come than we have space for right now. And, that's just part of it. You can only sign so many a year. So we feel like we're in very good shape. And, you know, this week our coaches will get out a little bit and recruit and, see a few high school games.
All right, Coach. Well, we'll talk to you next week. Get ready for a big one. You got a little time off before this next game. Get the troops ready to go, and we'll be ready to talk to you again next week. Thanks always for your time.
All right.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, man. We'll see you.
All right. That was the Mark Richt Show, brought to you by Bennett Auto Supply. When you need parts for your vehicle, think Bennett Auto Supply. Bennett Auto Supply, drive with the leader in J&K Roofing. J&K Roofing been serving South Florida for 30 years, repairing and installing new roofs. If you have a leaky roof, call J&K at 954-961-ROOF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.